Once again, back Drinks with Friends with your host, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's cracking, everybody? Sorry for that little pause there. I got distracted by some old bullshit.
Wow. Okay. So, neat. Yes. Lovely. thanks for joining us here once again for another episode. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by help with our friends at Andro DSM. Power up.
And Susie Sweet Treat. Secret ingredient is love.
Not cocaine.
Oh, did you hear a third voice?
Yerp.
Who could that be?
Yerp.
Knock, knock.
Who's
Open
there?
Open up the door. Who's it? Oh, sorry. Wrong artist.
Hey, I got influence from him, too.
Hey.
He wilps.
So, where my dog's at?
So we're sitting here chopping up with Dan O'Beak Picasso, the one and only.
Hey, welcome
Ladies
back.
And gentlemen, what's happening?
Dude.
So glad to be back here.
Dude.
On different terms.
It's a special occasion.
Yo, man, what a weekend it's been.
I mean, we always bring you in for reviews.
I know. The tables have turned.
But yeah, today we're here to talk about your debut project.
Yeah, man, this is epic.
How's Digital Soul. Digital Soul, available on all streaming platforms.
Everywhere, man.
Right now.
Yeah, go get that.
Go
enjoy
listen
it.
To
Have
it.
A little listen. Enjoy
Bump it
yourself.
On the Bluetooth speakers in Target. Shout out Stefan.
Oh, man, my dog. Shout out Stefan, man. Put that stuff in the retail store. Had it go, man. Sitting at home laughing my ass off, man. This is crazy. It's a beautiful look, man.
17 years in the making.
Yo, 17 years
so,
in the making.
That's actually a very interesting point. So let's start there.
Hmm.
17 years.
All right, so... Around, let's see, 17 years ago, I would have been 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And at that
just
point...
Just a baby.
Yeah, just a little baby Daniel. We'll put the real government out for you. Daniel was a kid that had been through extensive, elongated training through the Des Moines public school system. And the likes of those who were ever around that wanted to share some light, some music, give a little insight.
Mm-hmm.
It was great training. And just from there, it just kind of just bubbled. I started performing in school. I went to Edmonds from kindergarten to second grade.
Yeah.
And in the midst
played
of that.
Play steel drums?
No, I didn't play steel drums, actually. But shout out, yeah, but shout out Greg Newman. Greg Newman was one of the. He was
I remember Greg.
Greg Newman was the man, right?
He was a homie. Like,
so.
He's a practicing, when he was alive, he was a practicing Buddhist.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so we were on that connection.
Wow, he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so he
died years and years and years ago. He's been
first off,
long gone.
RIP to the guy, Greg Newman, because that was one of the people that I will really say gave me an ability to know that I wanted to be a performer.
That's beautiful.
Every Friday at Edmonds, they used to have extracurricular because we were a fine arts magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the groups that was there was a dance class, and Greg taught the dance class.
Yep.
I can Motown Philly.
Yeah,
one of our routines.
Yeah, his whole thing was what was it, Something in Motion? Something I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
what his program was, but like, no, he was one of those ones that were like holding it down, like going into the schools and really like getting hands on with the kids and really like helping them blossom into artists and have that's access. Right. Yeah.
So that's young. That's really young, Daniel. And that was in the time where, like, you know, I was just starting to get into it. I really loved music from the jump, but it was like, oh, to get that beginning training and put into it. And so dealing with that, my first performance, real performance, was doing the Nutcracker in school.
Mm.
And I was one of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Nice.
And Greg Newman choreographed our performance of it.
Yeah.
And so in the midst of doing that, I was looking, I'm searching for my mom and my family to try to see where they are while doing these running man and dance moves and doing all this shit from the 90s. Like,
yeah.
We're epic. Like, this is, yeah, right. We're like, yeah. But it was so dope, though. And I performed in, and it was in Hoyt Sherman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did it at Hoyt Sherman of all places. So, like, this stage performance shit has just been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Well... Let's push forward. So we get to second grade, and my grandmother passed away. And I'm originally from north of Des Moines.
Yeah.
But we were living on the west side, and my mom had decided to move closer back home to get me back into the school district there. And then my aunt grandma ended up passing away. So as we moved, in the trauma of that, I had to move back over to Philly. And from third on on to, I stayed in the North District. So from there on, I was at Findlay North or Findlay Harding and then went to North. Yeah. So there's the extent of my training stopped with Edmonds, moving on, getting to Findlay, and then going into Harding. My training started with teachers from Des Moines Public Schools. Jared Hall, Mrs. Bowerman, I can't remember her first name, I apologize. Mary Lee Barnett. Colleen Jennings was the reason from where I transitioned into college. But at 16, I minded my business one day and I happened to be in the choir room because that's where I focused at. I did not give a fuck about school. School did not matter to me. I went to school for music.
Yeah.
The social stuff was cool. Like, what's crazy?
Relatable content.
Yeah, like I went.
A couple of guys who had like 1 year where we both had 4 periods in the choir room. I get it.
Yeah, like so the entire morning, like singing songs. We're like, we gotta go to English
now. Okay, lovely.
So that's young. And that's about
shout out music teachers for
yeah. Real. Shout out to you guys. I love y'all. Thank you so much. You did a wonderful job.
Hell yeah.
And so I was with I did that getting to about. Say, I think junior and senior year, I got to take advantage of that. Otherwise, I had to work. When I got to North, it was a crazy experience. Getting to North, I was already riding the wave at Harding because, like, I was making my stakes. Like, I was the little kid that could sing there. Mm. So, like, they were like, oh, he's up. He's going to be good. And then when I moved to North and became a freshman, it was like... Nah.
All of a sudden there was a big fish and a bigger pond.
And it was so big that I didn't know that there were so many hidden gems because that's what North is. North in general is just a bunch of people that are hidden in a place that no one thinks that shit is going on there.
Shout out to Marianne Sims and City Voices
for
doing that work and going places where they're underserved or underrepresented to find those gems and actually polish them into capable musicians
out of the home school and give people a place to flourish
and grow and actually have the opportunities that a lot of these more wealthy suburban schools have so that she kind of helps even the playing field for people in those spaces.
Amazing.
So yeah, uncovering the diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, so popping up to North as a freshman, I was little, I was the big fish, but I was little, and then I found out how little I was. And then in the midst of that, puberty happened. So second semester happens, and I lose my voice. It's gone. There's a frog in my voice for months. Then we get to April. In April is when I see Travis for the first time. Excuse me, Madison, right? And, well, actually, he would have been Travis at that time. I guess I can say it like that. So I seen him in the room at ISHSA, and this is the first time us black... Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. This is the first time us seeing us as young black kids
all in the room.
I'm sorry.
Leave it in.
I slipped.
Leave it in.
Slipped. My name is my name.
My name is my name. I'm so sorry. That's what happens when you're Daniel. Really when you're really friends and you're drinking with friends. I guess that's how it goes, right?
It's true.
But yeah, this is my first time meeting Madison, and so I'm looking and I'm like, oh, there's others like me.
Who's this light skinned tenor to all up in my business?
Yeah, and it was crazy to see it.
Hey,
yeah, and he was going off. But the best part about it was he wasn't even singing at the time. He was just in the room because Roosevelt was holding the IHSSA's solo and ensemble contest that year. So this was my first time seeing you guys.
Sancho.
Yeah.
Somebody else, a real tenor, couldn't hack it. So I had to come up to that upper register and push it down.
Ooh.
We got one that year.
Had to give it hey, and so here's my best part about that. I didn't get a one that year. Ooh. I got Division II. Coming off of that frog in the group, in that puberty, it was the most roughest thing I ever dealt with.
Your ego,
it, you, do you boy. Think? Do you think? So... Mm. Dealing with that, I had to bounce back, and I watched everybody else flourish that year, and I was hurt.
Yeah.
And so then moving into the next year, a sophomore, here's 16-year-old Daniel, and there's I'm seeing the upperclassmen on the way out, and I'm setting myself up. I'm like, I want to be the one that's in charge. I want to be next. And it was hard because I still wasn't gonna get the little leeway that I wanted because everybody was still struggling and fighting to try to get in their way. Yeah. Plus, who the fuck wants to deal with the choir nerds or the drama kids? Yeah. And so from there, I started to branch into the drama and started dealing with like improv. And I was doing some, I didn't want to do musical theater at all. Yeah. Like, I actually refused it all the way until like my senior year, and they made me do it. Like, they forced me to do it. And, trailing off, but 16, I was in the, I'm in study hall with a few friends, and there was a guy that I met, Tyler, and he was a guitarist, and he had moved from, he had transferred from a different school and popped up, and I had never seen him before. He's in the hallway while we're in like the band room and stuff, and he's playing blues. And I'm looking at this guy like, who the fuck are you? Like, what are you doing playing blues? Like, you just some old normal kid, like, sitting here playing blues. Like, who are you? And so, like, he's like, yeah, you know, chopping and keeps going. I'm like, hold on. Let me headbutt you real fast. So I start singing over top of him while he's playing. And, like, as he's playing, he's shocked. And I'm like, no, this is what I'm here for. Let's get it going. And this is the beginning of the work. So he sits down and he starts playing a lick in the study hall one day, and I'm like, yeah, I want to take that. Let's make a song out of it. As I'm sitting and writing the song and he's playing, I've got all of these other 30 some odd kids in the study hall that are in this part of the drama room. Normally wouldn't be there, some might be there, but not really the normal people. Yeah. It's just all set. And so in the midst of that, I've got a couple of my friends that are paying attention to what I'm writing, getting my melody together, putting it together. Then I'm also seeing that there's some hard bodies and there's some thugs that are paying attention to me writing and singing the song. And so I'm like, okay, while I'm getting my chorus together, my friends are singing backgrounds, like trying to harmonize their backgrounds into the song. Tyler's putting his stuff together. And by the end of the class, I finished the song. We had our 45 blocks. Block scheduling was amazing. I don't care what none of y'all say.
Never experienced.
Four classes a day.
I don't know what that means.
Four classes a day, a 15-minute break, and the day switched back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay. It was crazy. I know you guys had to do that 7-period shit all one day, and I was so happy that I got away from that in middle school. After it was over, I was very thankful. North, I love you. I love you, North. Anyways. It doesn't know. I'm just saying.
Look at this ugly motherfucker for an hour and a half.
Like, hey, but day, half of the time I was sleep anyway, so it didn't even fucking matter. Like, the only classes that I was up for was damn near choir class, and that was the end of the day anyway, so I was asleep. I get finished with the song, and friends are joshing, and we're laughing, bopping, and we walk out the door, and it had cleared my mind. I'm going off to class. Well, what I didn't notice is that they were really paying attention. There's a couple of hard bodies now sitting at the front of the hall during 15-minute break, and I get this call. Daniel, sing that song that you was just singing in the schoolroom. Sing that song you was just singing in the practice room. You know, then he starts singing my melody to my song. This dude's a hard, like, this dude was like, to me, when I seen him, he was one of those dudes that was like, he was about his shit, he didn't take no shit. He was one of those dudes that, you know, he was about his business, like cutthroat.
Like, trying to make him laugh, he won't laugh.
Nah,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's funny, cut.
Yeah, he, like, you know, gave you that little stone face. But, like, we get out into the middle of the hall, and he's, like, really into it. He's singing the shit, and I'm looking at him like, bro, I just wrote that. Why are you? You're making it hot. Like, stop putting my song out there. I ain't recorded nothing with the song. I just wrote it.
Yeah.
And like, that was the beginning of like, all right, this shit'll stick. And so from there, it was just kind of pressing and honing and keeping the talent, trying to figure out how it was gonna work. I just kind of dealt with the traumas and the things that happened as they came. Like, I'm black. I'm fat. I'm not ugly. I'll never say that. You got me fucked up. But it always seemed like those aesthetics were always going to be something that was going to be in the way or stop me or something that was going to keep someone from really getting into me as a person, even though I don't come off mean and I don't give off that energy. I'm just a happy ass person. Right. I've always been happy.
Physically intimidating.
Yeah, people and that's probably your first thing.
Black and bearded in America.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, but I'm a softie. I'm in the softie. Yeah. I'm just a big lover. I didn't have a choice. I mean, wait, I did have a choice, but in the midst of that, we decided that I wasn't a good idea. I had a lot of people that, you know, were like, yeah, you could do that and it would be great, you know, go ahead and live that lifestyle, but nah, it's not, it wasn't worth it. At 9 years old, seeing people already die, having family members die from gun violence, like, it was a no-go. Yeah, that, it wasn't going to happen.
That demon, that adversary is always at the table.
Exactly.
Especially for people that look like us. There's always that invitation.
And at a very,
that door is always open.
And at a very young age to see it, like 9, like I had already seen, I already lost family members to some bullshit. So in the sense of it, it was like, we weren't going to, it's not going to happen. I'm also from a single parent family and I don't shine light on it, but I mean, you know, your father figure or your sperm donor or what you would call him, like, I couldn't take pride in him or like really celebrate him in the sense, because he was doing fucked up shit, and in the sense of him doing fucked up shit, it wasn't something that I could be like, oh, I could be proud of you for doing what you did.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be proud of you for being the first nigga that got pit mashed from the police car in Des Moines and like, I can still find your like police chase tape on fucking whatever wildest chases,
goddamn,
or thousand wildest chases or whatever, you know, got going on. Like, how do I get the? How am I gonna live that down? I hate Ford Tauruses to this day.
I'm sorry, I
hate Ford Tauruses to this day.
Nah,
it's dead ass facts. I hate Ford Tauruses to this day. Like, I don't fuck with Ford Taurus. I don't want to be nowhere near it. I did some fucked up shit back in 2006 and 2007. I wasn't really the greatest kid back then.
Don't incriminate yourself now.
No, not, I was just on some bullshit in a Ford Taurus, and I hate that shit to this day. Like, I hate Ford Tauruses. And you can laugh because you know what it is. Now you know. But like, But I fucking hate Ford Tauruses, so I don't deal with that. But yeah, as we got out from that moment of being this writer or starting to realize it, it was from that point, it was just trying to get someone's fucking attention. Like, just begging and just walking in anyone's shit and trying to rip them or just show them the talent was there. Like, I've sat in everyone's shit. I've been in your home of the mill studio. I've been at your top dollar nice stretch with We Got a Deal type of look studio. I've been with the folks that have decided that they wanted to just drop everything and decide that they wanted to become studio engineers and do that shit. I did it. I went with everyone. And that happened in the sense of the next 2 years. By the time I was 18 and I was heading to college in Creston, I was literally like already like writing. I was making beats off of a PlayStation. I lived next door to my uncle, and my uncle would call 11 o'clock at night. Curfew. You gotta turn that shit off. You're downstairs in the basement with MTV crib speakers and shit, surround sound speakers with a PlayStation making beats constantly.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, you gotta turn that shit off. Curfew. We can't do that. You're fucking up the neighborhood.
All right, for real.
So like, all right, I'm gonna turn this down. Then from like knowing that like that shit's set, but like I would sit, be in the basement making beats, and I'd come upstairs and pass by my mom, and she'd look at me and be like, "Yeah, that one." I go on to mind my business. Like, it was always, it's always been like this. So graduating, I was singing our school song, which motherfuckers will still talk about to this day. I do not ever not hear someone want to hear Fair North High. I do not ever not hear someone want to run up and be like, yo.
I don't know Roosevelt's school song.
And that's crazy.
Stand up and fight for Darryl Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's a band one, right?
Yeah, that's a fight song.
That's the fight song. So we got a fight one, too.
Yeah.
But we also got the fucking East Side High remake for North. because
it's real crack, don't you?
Sam's. And it was, and for the choir kids at my school that went to the school at the time, that shit was everything for us. That shit was our oath of passage. Like, when we got to watch Lean On Me, nigga, you better shut the fuck, don't say shit in this movie.
Yeah, that movie is a classic.
That is Sister Act. It's everything. Those were the ones that secured, that was the ones that built confidence in the motherfuckers to sing. Mm. Like, y'all are ratchet and
I can sing this once.
Ghetto right. Is all get out, but your niggas don't be able to get it. Nah, don't, oh, let's not
so,
get it.
So let me ask you this. the title Digital Soul, where does that come from?
Digital Soul came from how do we give the modern idea of a new soul artist with modern features that is a mix of all of the history and all of the stuff in one ball in a nice presentable fashion for everyone to dive into. I think Digital Soul for me gives the new age thumbprint to the future and the current standings of music, yet the soul gives you the basis of where we've been, where we've gone from,
yeah,
where we're heading.
Well, yeah, because I hear a lot of 90s MTV, VH1, BET influence.
And that's
like, you got some TLC vibes on there, some new
most
jazz
definitely
swing vibe on there.
Most like, definitely.
Yeah, you know, like I could hear that imprint.
And I think for us, shout out to my guy Crimson OG, I think for us that was where we wanted to have a nice foundation because we knew that was a nostalgic look that people are searching for right now. A lot of people are like, you know, I want the old thing back. Where's that good R&B at? Where's that feel? Where's that love? Where's that vibe at? And I thought that we gave a really nice look to that. And a nice pane of homage. And
so did the concept come first or did the songs come first?
They came together. In the middle of, I'd say probably the third or fourth song, by the time we got finished with probably the third or fourth song recording, we were already in like, okay, this is Digital Soul. And we were already like, it's the snowball had already rolled and we started listening to it over and over. And as we started listening to the tracks again, it was like, yeah, this is it. So it just kind of snowballed in, but it came, it aligned together at the same time, which was
so
crazy.
So you keep saying we, who was on the team that put this project
my
together?
Team, my man, Crimson OG, the gray area leader, the man, the master of the hour. This is our baby. He's probably at home doing some extracurricular, handling business on the studio. He's the machine, man, the muscle. I came in with a notepad and a couple of ideas, and he basically was like, yo, I'm gonna pan out everything. I'm gonna hand you what you need and give you the blueprints, and let's work from there. And the marriage just so cement. It's amazing.
I will say it's cool because I've like listened back because you've been working with him for a while.
Yeah,
like you've been working on your stuff for like what you say it was like 11 months from conception to like release. Basically, like it was a solid, steady work schedule for the past 11 months to get this where it is.
The first, I would say, the 11 months as a whole. There was a 5 month silence where we just decided to calm down for a second. The creativeness wasn't really as popping as much as we wanted it to be.
Artists go through shit.
Yeah, so it was like we needed to take just a little moment.
Can't force inspiration,
right? Yeah, we just needed a moment to kind of just like calm down and just get our heads together and make sure that before we made this complete decision to jump out, that we were good as friends and confident in our work to be together as partners to make sure that this marriage was going to be just supreme in itself.
Hold on, because I asked you about that. Just because like I listened to your stuff that you had done on his stuff beforehand. Shout out again, Crimson OG. Go listen to his stuff too on all your favorite streaming platforms.
Yeah,
and you could hear the growth of you guys together. Because like as far as how like you were mixed and things like that, because there's some of the earlier stuff that I wasn't feeling as far as just like how it was presented.
Yeah.
But then to hear the change to what's now your project that's come out.
Yeah.
And you can hear a lot of growth on both of you guys' hands.
Yeah.
Which is dope to experience. It's absolutely dope.
So what's crazy is that around the time, probably around this time, like 6 years ago, is when I first met him.
Yeah.
And I met him on the fly. Like, it's crazy how it was even set up. A friend had posted a Facebook message about a guy that was recording studio time for $20 an hour. Hmm. And I had just gotten off of work working customer service. Fuck you, iWireless.
They're back right now.
They don't exist, so I can talk all the shit I want to. But at the time, I came home from work one day and I was in my little feelings because I was like, yo, like, here I am sitting here not doing shit. Once again, I'm working for the man and I'm not doing anything with this, like, creativity. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I seen the status, and so I sent my dude a message. I'm like, yo, is he still there? I want to pop up.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, yeah, he actually is getting ready to, you know, he's getting ready to pull his stuff. He's getting ready to leave. And I'm like, nah, tell him to stay there. I got the money. I'm getting ready to pull up. So I pull up. And, you know, what's up? We'll bid back and forth. Here I got the track. Hand him the track. And 45 minutes, we do a run through. I get through it. And he's like, all right, give me a couple of days. Let me give you a little mix and see what happens. So when I meet out with him on after the few days, he's like, yeah, man. He's kind of letting me know what's going on. He was like showing me the mix, and then he's like, I do music too. He's like, not only do I, you know, do the studio shit, but I'm working with my own music. And from there, I watched this man progress 6 years deep into what you see now. Like, so in the trenches of those beginning mixes and those processes where it sounds the way that it does and the mixes aren't that well together, even with Digital Soul, we sit and listen to it and we're like, yeah, some of this shit might not be as great as mixed as what people do, but you're also talking to two people that are working from an independent lane that are not being influenced by anyone of an outside influence at all.
Yeah.
I'm working with one person. I'm working with this person, and then he goes and puts his work in and handles his on his own. There's no influences or bridges or someone else that's coming in to let you know that, oh, this is my part on this, or I'm taking care of this part too. Yeah. His mixing, all of those things are done. My vocals, those writings, those are in at those times, and he goes and he handles what he wants. If he doesn't want it, if he doesn't like the way that it sounds, he might come back and do it. Most of the time, all of those songs, most of them are done literally within 3 or 4 takes. Mm-hmm. Like, breaking down one of them, I say, for instance, Did I?
Yeah.
Did I is 3 takes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's actually a good segment. Let's talk about the songs. On
yeah,
the album.
Yeah. So we got 7 joints.
Yeah.
On this bad boy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The first one being Did
yeah,
I.
Yeah. So the first one being Did I. Did I is it was done in 3 tracks. It was done in 3 tracks. Like I said, the course of this song for me was like I was sitting down. I was hanging out with a friend of mine, and we were talking back and forth, and we were having this conversation about how they were dealing with some bullshit that they were going through for a relationship. They were leaving out of one and they were getting into another one. But while they were getting into the other one, it seemed like the same shit was happening from the one that was previously happening. And so I was like, you know, you're giving your all to the situation and like you're not getting much of it. Like there's the little side shits that's happening in relationships and you're giving a lot of yourself. Are you losing yourself giving yourself to this other person? And that's kind of where Did I comes in, because it's like, am I losing myself, giving my all to you and making mistakes trying to keep you, but yeah, you're not going to stay because they're not good enough. And then I'm giving you this love and you're telling me that you're accepting of it and that you feel this connection with me, but then in the same tense, you're going to run off because you're too scared of the commitment or you're too scared of the thought of what could really happen between someone. And so that heartbreak into a trap beat, just kind of flowing over it and giving that just that feel. This was probably me giving a very, very, very vulnerable moment of love that My Most Broken Hearted.
I think that's probably, like, overall probably your most relatable song on that album. Because, I mean, all of us go through that moment where you just want to give your all to somebody and then it might not work out, or they're not as appreciative of it as they should be. Maybe they're not ready for it or whatever. And that comes that moment where it's like, yo, I got to take a step back and do what's right for me. Otherwise, I'm going to die in this situation.
You know what I mean? And, like, you start sitting there
not necessarily physically, but, like, seriously, like, I'm like,
it crush
the real
it.
Me is losing losing weight. So,
yeah. Love it. I don't, like, man, sitting there thinking about, like, fuck, did I make all these mistakes to get back to square one, which is nowhere? Why? Like, the sense of being angry at it, too.
It's like that, it's like that metaphor. It's like when you're, it's like that, it's like kind of this cliche thing where it's like you go through this whole long journey and you get lost in the woods and you get right back to where you started.
We're gonna make it. I see the light.
And it's like, this is the same spot where I just started.
I've seen this tree four times.
right.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Alright, so then, so that one, that's your vulnerable one.
Yeah.
That one, I think, will speak to everybody who's been in a situationship.
Yeah, definitely for the situationships. In relationships. I think, you know, those ones that you're on the ends out on.
Right. We all been there. And it's funny for me, too, because, I mean, as close as you and I are. Like,
yeah.
This whole album, I almost feel like I'm, like, too close to it.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff that, like, I mean, you do have some direct shout-outs on there, and there's, like, some homages to, like, your friends and stuff. Like, I can find a couple of, like, there's a few lines on there that remind me of stories from our time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But even the ones that aren't, like, about us, or the ones that I wasn't there for, like, I know the stories behind them.
Yeah, so it's like, damn.
So, like,
it makes it that
so
much.
Part of me wants to call you out on some stuff, because I'm like, yeah, I know what you was talking about right here, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't make it hot for me.
It's hot
enough already. It is hot enough already.
Alright, well, let's talk about the next song on there. Not Feed.
Yeah. Alright, so.
Your hype song on the album.
Alright, so Do Not Feed is
super.
Yeah, man. It's a bunch of different pieces of artistry to let you know about Dano. One concept of it is the three Daves from Dave Chappelle. The thought of it being three different Danos. Well, there's Daniel, the 16, 17-year-old kid from North that's struggling and striving to get the fuck out. Like, I want you to know that it's not a fucking game.
Yeah.
And then there's the middle college Daniel that's, hey, this is Dano. I've survived from being in a, surviving from a nose job in order to better oneself in the entertainment business. Fat as fuck, no lie. Well, I'm just being funny. But I have, what's it called, sleep apnea. So as a kid, I've had this all my life. Around three, they ended up taking my tonsils out and adenoids at the same time.
Yeah.
By four, they had grown back double the size of my adenoids. Yeah. So then they went back and did it again. And then by the time I had turned seven, they had to go back in and do some shit with my nose again.
Yeah.
Well, the doctor broke my nose, deviated septum, had my shit broken. And by the time I got to college and I get down with these people and they're like, yo, we want to check out what's going on with you. I get into ENT and they're like, yeah, you have a deviated septum and your adenoids have grown back thrice the time again. So I go and get this nose job. And everything's going to be good. They're going to open my nostrils. Everything's good. Come to find out, while I'm in the process of getting this operation done, I went code blue, stopped breathing. They resuscitated me, brought me back to life.
Yeah, died on the table.
Brought me back to life. Sent me back in an ambulance back into Mercy because I was out in West Des Moines. And they sent me back into DeMercy. Had to reverse the anesthetic, catheter, screaming pain and cuss words in front of my very good, very loyal Christian church-going family members. It was one of the craziest experiences ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, 7 days, 7 days between kids' ICU, regular ICU, and a couple of days of the thing. You know, nice little stay.
Yeah.
But returning back from that, college kid, Dano, I made it. I'm here now.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I don't give a fuck about none of this. We're gonna just go balls off. And then you get the Daniel now. This 30
introspective.
This 30 grown Daniel. That's this 30 grown Dano. This is Dano B. Let me give you an idea that I'm a part of a situation, or I'm a part of something bigger than me. It's bigger than me, and I know this now. But in order for you to see the vision, I have to give you megapixels, because you don't want to see the vision yet. So I have to give you the megapixels. It's only right. In the sense of it, my inspiration with the song comes from South Roots. I love Project Pat. I love 3-6 Mafia. The flow. Yeah, the flow is very Project Pat. I wanted it to be that way. The style of it, just the braggadocious, just it's another day in the life of just a black creative, a young black kid or a black kid suffering. But at the root of it, it's like there's a lot of shit going on out here. A lot of people like to kick their bullshit to you, and a lot of people want to put it out here in a lot of ways. And just because it's fed to you doesn't mean you have to eat it. And I'm not eating nobody's shit no more.
Okay.
I'm outside to eat, but I'm not going to eat anybody's bullshit. And with that being said, before you go out, man, put that sign on. And if you don't want to put the sign on, just remember that there's a lot of people out here that want to feed you a lot of bullshit. We don't live in an island. It is not a dirty money island. Have some goddamn intellect and realize that you live in a fucking flat, plain state.
Shots fired.
If you
want to
know what it really is, we're in the land of sleep, my dude. My dude, my ladies, everybody out here, the young creatives.
I know exactly who he's talking to.
The young
fine.
Creatives. Nah, no shots. Absolutely honest, I just want to let you know, like, it's not an island. It's a fucking plain state. You live on a flat. So with that being said, if you want to know some history, the Iowa Indians is where you get the name Iowa from. And it's called the land of sleep. Stop sleeping on us. The shit is over. Wake up. Grab your coffee, your Folgers, whatever you need. It's fucking on.
Can I speak on hair and nails real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I woke up this morning singing that song.
Thank you.
I legit woke up. So again, shout out Crimson OG, because it was his part. Like, I woke up this morning.
Yeah.
And then I brushed my teeth.
Yeah.
Bruh. Listen.
It's so catchy.
I had to run that back at least half a dozen times. Like, did I just hear what I thought I heard?
Yeah. What the? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Go fit in some skinny jeans. Like, the whole song from top to bottom was hilarious.
Right.
It was hilarious.
So, and the only thing, I'm going to give you this. And I'm letting it go. I'm not going to really speak on it. I'm not going to say too much more there.
Yeah.
So, I know you guys, some of these people out here are really eyebrow raised. Oh, it's too risque. You took it too far. This. And I would just ask you to pump your brakes. There's plenty of people that have songs out here that say ER.
Yeah.
And it's not Jet. It's not A.
Yeah.
I also would like to point out that you guys like to let pop stars sing about putting their dicks in boxes, but my big fat ass wants to get some head and you want to be pissed off about it? And I'm paying, getting your hair and nails done. What the fuck are you mad for?
Because the baby daddy gotta watch the kids. Like,
dick and spa day for everyone. Isn't it a good time?
Not for the baby dad. He's out here mad.
Well, shit, he shouldn't have had them kids. He needs to get that Xbox fixed in the first place. Oh. Fuck it. Take care of your goddamn kids.
So I can take care of your girl.
Basically, it is what it is.
Gonna do what it do.
And that's facts.
Yeah.
So facts and Saturday Energy you released onto SoundCloud before the album.
Yeah, on SoundCloud hustling.
Was that intended to be a part of a bigger project, or was one of these things that just kind of like it worked out in some sort of serendipitous way that it fit the concept of Digital Soul?
So in the process of starting it, this is probably facts was actually the first song that I recorded. So. When we got into it, we were both excited about the sound. Things were coming together, but we also wanted it to be a fishing war because we wanted to see what the response was going to be.
Sure.
As far as how people were going to take to it, what was it? What was it sounding like? What this sound were they going to attach? What was it going to be like? What were we getting into? We got a lot of mixed mixed reviews about it, mixed ideas, and I loved all of them because it gave me room to understand what we were doing. Then moving into Saturday Energy, Saturday Energy, I was writing in the process, and we didn't come out, or we got finished with, and by the time we had got finished, there was so much other things that were rolling that we were like, yeah, let's put this one out. We really like the sound of this too. Mm-hmm. We think this is going to be what our sound is going to be for the album. And so we let those two ride for singles to let them give kind of the base to see, you know, here's what the style is. Here's a little bit of another style. Don't sleep on it. Just know that this is what you might get. Mm. Then you get Hair and Nails instead.
Yeah.
But well, not only that, but for at least for Saturday Energy, the mix changed completely from the single that you released. Because I was one of the films I told you I didn't like it. Like when it first came out, I was like, yeah, like I don't like the mix. I don't like how you. I don't like the levels on it. Like I don't like how you're sounding on it.
Yeah.
Like, I just wasn't hitting for me.
In fact,
but it definitely is now. I feel like it's one of your top three on the album because, like we said, the mix completely changed.
Yeah.
From what was originally released.
And I think,
Take the notes, make the adjustments.
And that's what we did.
Yeah,
and
I need some production credits.
That being said, run them credits.
But, yeah.
Give my man his coin.
Yeah,
we did. No, I'll get that check.
Yeah, we really did go back, make sure that we listened. We took very keen ear to what people were saying, and that's literally what happened. We got to the point where we're like, hey, let's go back here and remix this, mix it down, get it into a better place, and get it out. The idea that we had was pretty cement. But then my good friend Crimson was like, wait a second. And he went back in and got busy. And it was
amazing. He did, for sure.
He got, I'm not going to front with you. Like, my man showed his whole ass.
Like I said, bro, it's a lot of growth from both of y'all.
Yeah.
But I did listen to the stuff that he's put out, you know what I'm saying? And like, y'all both came a long way from like your first feature stuff on his. So shout out to both of y'all for putting in the time and putting in the work.
Yeah, and I think that's the old for us. It's gonna be the consistency and making sure that you see this progression, stay on a decision rather than get to a certain place where it gets to a plateau and then that's where we're gonna drown off. Like, nah, don't get comfortable at all, cause this ain't no comfortable. Yeah, this ain't no comfortable shit that we got going on around here. I'm on edge and I'm staying on this edge. Like I don't know where else to go. And I'm almost Michael Jackson leaning in these motherfucking SBs, to be honest with you, because I'm not gonna let it go. I can't. Once we got here and we've made this stable foundation, it's hard for me to look at a situation where I'm gonna turn a walk into where it's gonna not be at this level. Like, I need it to be either this or higher. So, tough titty in the city. But motherfuckers is moving.
Yeah.
So, and the progression has been amazing. Thank you, Des Moines. I know some of y'all have, like, I know it's few far in between. I know I haven't got to everybody's ears and that whatnot. And I can't wait to get to your ears.
Let me say congratulations on the release. Of course, go out and check out Digital Soul on all streaming platforms. Dano B. Picasso.
Yes.
You better get that work. Check it out.
What's your favorite track on the album?
I don't have one.
You lying. What's your favorite track on
the album? No, I don't have one. Because this is my baby. Like, this
pick
is
your
my
favorite
verse.
Child.
I can't. I know. I won't pick him. I won't pick him because I can honestly, you can. All right. I'll tell you like this. You can go through any of those songs and mention any of the songs, and I'd be more than happy to get into a deeper explanation. Check me on Facebook. Oh, yeah. Hey, I can do this now. Remember about 6 months ago, we were sitting with Jordan and Justin Inglis, and they were talking, and they were giving out their Twitters and all that shit, and I was like, don't find me.
Drop your socials.
It's Dano B. Picasso across the way.
Done.
Across the way, baby. Come holla at me. I got an Instagram. I got a Twitter. I'm not telling you Snapchat. No, I'm like, but nah, man. Come check me out. I'm cool, man.
For real though, what's your favorite song on the album?
My favorite song.
Right now. Because, okay, like you said, you can't pick your favorite kid. But in any given moment, you can pick your favorite kid. So right now, at this moment.
Who's your favorite
what's
kid?
What's your favorite song?
I don't have one because they're tied. They're all tied together because they all mean something.
Like, so? All of these mean something.
All that's these, how you dodge a question.
All of these babies are special.
Yeah, okay. Like, so which one's the most special today? Sunday, what's today? 21st? 20th. Sunday, October 20th at 3:55 p.m. What's your favorite song? Might be different 5 minutes from now, but right this minute, what's your favorite song?
Hey, Dana, looks like it's now or never. Niggas can't wait forever for you to get it together.
Thank you.
You can't wait forever. Don't.
If I feel like that song was written as a response to me because I've been on this dude's ass for like the past 2 years. Like, hey, bro.
The past 2 years?
I'm saying like consistently where I've been like hitting you up like once a week. Like, you've been writing some songs. You got some shit done. You got some work done.
I just,
what you got going on?
I mean,
what's cracking? What are you doing?
And to close y'all out, I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to close it out and give y'all this. So the reason why this happened and how it came together so graciously and the way it manifested was because of you. My brothers, we were sitting about... We were sitting about 10, 11 odd months ago.
Here's a tissue.
Yeah, for real. Enjoy it. About 10, 11 odd months ago, we were sitting at Drinks with Friendsgiving. We're in a room having a conversation, and it was after the things had gone. It was after the mic had been turned off. We were having a conversation about what was going on in the city, and I came off as a victim. And it scared me. It made me feel bad about myself. And it made me feel insecure, and it made me wonder what the hell I was doing. And then I was getting this look of, you're not a victim, you just ain't doing shit. What are you doing? Ain't it about time that you start doing something?
And nothing like a household of black women to get your shit right.
Right.
And it was, but it just wasn't the household of black women. It was the creative process of all of these people in the same room that are creative. Like,
I get what you're saying, because you're sitting around people who are actively doing something to chase their dreams. It's like, how can you not?
Yeah, so I wanted in. Yeah. I wanted to be, I didn't want to just be like one of these other people that were like, oh, I can't, I don't want to be Dano B, the one that gets to constantly give reviews. I want you to be able to come review me now. I got something for you to review, and I'm going to have a little bit more for you to review too. 30 to 45 days. Bitch, I'm not playing.
Well, there you have it, folks.
The gray area. Holla at your boy. It's Dano B. Problematic black at his finest. North Des Moines, we did it. I feel like Khaled right now. The sun is shining on me. The sun is shining on me.
Well, my friend, congratulations. Grateful. Congratulations.
Crimson OG, grateful.
It's only T and Dan, a little hoe.
Say that shit a little bit louder.
ONT and gang, we are here. But yes, shout out to Dan O.B. Picasso. Thank you for joining us and talking about your baby.
Thank you.
I got a favorite one of your kids, but I'll save that for later.
That's what's up. Thank you for having me. I just want to say, as the little brother, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I feel like a proud big brother. Yeah, as the only child, that's
as,
like a big
as
deal.
The little brother and the baby, I just would like to show... I'm glad to show my little badass actually came out and put something to work after all this time.
Yeah, way to be. Way to be. Man. So, yeah, proud of you. Congratulations.
Did it.
Madison Ray, you got big things going on. We got Hype Volume 2 coming out. You're in Rocky Horror right now.
Woo! We'll talk about that next week.
Okay, we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, don't make it hot for him right now. Yeah. Let him breathe.
When is the show? Doesn't it start this weekend?
Oh, we already opened.
So
I'm headed to the show right now.
So I'm just going
to
say that plug. If you ain't got nothing to do, go watch it. Because it's out now.
Check that hot patootie. Bless your soul.
That's right.
That's right. That blessing on it.
Yeah.
We're all out here
in that chicken sandwich, bitch. Don't act like you forgot.
Still hot and fresh. And then make sure you're following me for Inktober.
That's right.
Day 20. We're 2/3 of the way through the month.
Woo, crushing it, man.
Putting out
that good work. Yeah, that good, good.
Every day. I just want to play video games again. Inktober's all about discipline, so I haven't played any video games this whole month.
Attaboy. Right? Proud of you. And I'm like, proud of you.
I gotta focus. And Ryan's like, Dad, will you play this game? I'm like, sorry, bro, I can't. And he's like, why not? I'm like, all about discipline, son. You wouldn't understand.
Watch and learn.
Yeah.
Watch him.
Watch your dad be great. Dano B. Picasso. Follow him under Dano B. Picasso on all the social medias. Madison Ray. Emperor Madison Ray on Twitter.
Facebook. Instagram.
Madison Ray Music. Make sure you check him out. And then That Guy Rye. That Guy _ Rye on Twitter. That Guy _ Rye _ IG on Instagram. We're all out here creating every day. So make sure you go follow it, download it, listen to all your back episodes. I actually listened to the Black Boys and Dragon Balls episode a couple days ago just because I needed that laugh. We've been dropping gems for a while now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a great ass show. Oh, yeah. We wrote a, we gave a full dissertation.
Bro, we episode. We like, stay fuego, okay?
Yeah, it's true.
It's period.
So yeah, I was talking to a couple of my favorite artists the other day. I'm in a group chat with them, Reno Massad and Action Hank.
Yeah.
I'm in a group chat with those two. And they were talking about like struggling in New York and Atlanta. And I'm like, y'all are in like cultural centers. Like, shout out to y'all for going out there and doing it. But like, bro, I'm in Des Moines, fucking Iowa, and there's no excuses. Like, we got people out here doing work.
Yeah.
So check us all out. Like my friends are dope, and we're doing dope.
Super
shit.
Dope.
Yeah. It is what it is. So
pure.
Again, and this is a dope ass podcast.
Right.
I'm saying
super dope.
We're dope, and we do dope things. So
shout out to the sponsors, yep. Adro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love,
not cocaine.
We'll catch y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right. Peace.